here. I have to fight this battle. Christmas is not over until Epiphany, and even then I don't think it should be over. I think Christmas should live on all year. I have a friend in Henry. No, she actually lives in Putnam, Illinois. Not that anyone here would know where Putnam, Illinois is, but she lives, I want to get it accurate for her sake. She lives in Putnam, Illinois, and in her living room, on the top of an Amish-made oak cabinet, curio cabinet, in the corner, she has a little bitty Christmas tree, and that Christmas tree stays up all year. And that Christmas tree is lit all year. In the summertime, they call it their nightlight. In the Christmas season, they call it a Christmas tree. In the summertime, they call it a nightlight, just so they're not embarrassed by the fact they have a Christmas tree up all year long. The woman adores Christmas. The woman believes that Christmas should be all year. She's not so much for Easter. Well, she loves Easter, but she's not so much for Lent. She tells me, "I'm not coming to Good Friday service, Pastor Pat. I don't like to hear about my Savior and the nails and the suffering and the..." And I say, but that's part of the whole story. You see, you've got to hear the whole story. You can't just hear the nice parts of the story. And she said, "I feel the whole story. I don't need to hear. I feel the whole... I know I did that. I feel the whole... I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be reminded that I'm a terrible person." I said, "You're not a terrible person. You're just a sinner." She says, "Well... Isn't a sinner a terrible person?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I guess. Well, I don't want to be reminded that I'm a terrible..." Well, you know, we go in circles around this thing. But anyway, she has this Christmas tree in her living room on top of this cabinet. It's there all year round because Christmas is all year round for her. Now, I like that. But I don't have to have it all year round. But you all have to celebrate until Epiphany. You don't have to have a Christmas tree in your house all year. It's okay. I'm fine with that. I understand that. I get it. It's okay. But you need to celebrate Christmas, at least in your hearts. You don't have to have everything up. It's okay. But in your hearts until January the 6th, which is next Saturday. Although we will celebrate it on Sunday. The wise men will come next Sunday. I do not know if they will appear in person here in our sanctuary next Sunday. We will have to wait and see about that. But they will come. But this Sunday, Jesus is still a baby. Now, I know that you already know this because I have the most intelligent congregation in Missouri. You were voted first in a non-expertise voting poll that took place. I was the only one voting. And I voted you the most intelligent congregation in Missouri, so you now know. You may go out and tell everyone that. You may tell them that it was reported in a magazine. Don't tell them the name of the magazine. We don't know the name of the magazine. But you were reported in magazine to be the most intelligent congregation in Missouri. And you know that in the story, that between the time of Jesus' birth, here guys, let me help you out here so you don't have to swing your heads, that between the time of Jesus' birth and the time of coming of the wise men was 3 years. Jesus was actually 3 years old when the wise men or the magi came. So by next week, Jesus will be 3 years old. Isn't it amazing how fast Jesus ages? I think it's amazing. It's a great story. Jesus was born last week. Next week, he'll be 3. I'm sure glad I don't age that fast. Aren't you glad you don't age that fast? I'm glad I don't age that fast. By next week, I could be 100 years old. Ooh, I don't like that idea. Anyway, this week, that would mean Jesus would be 2, I guess, this week. No, Jesus is still a baby with this scripture. He's still a baby. with this scripture. I love this scripture, and you know it gets left out a lot. We don't hear this scripture every year. We don't hear this scripture every 2 years, 3 years, sometimes 3 years. But I love this scripture. This is the scripture of a devoted God lover. You can't say devoted Christian. There aren't any Christians yet. You know, you're the smartest, you know, congregation in Missouri, so you know this. There aren't any Christians yet. They're just God lovers, God bearers. You know, but I love this because this is a scripture about somebody who's so devoted to God. So listen, when the time came for their purification, now that's Mary's and Jesus, okay? According to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Remember, we're still talking about First Testament law here. You offered sacrifices, okay? Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Good old Simeon. This man was righteous, devout, he was part of the smartest congregation in Israel, in Jerusalem. Okay? That same magazine reported that. Okay? Simeon, this man was a righteous and devout man, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. Folks, when you hear that in your mind, you've got to know that means this man was favored by God. The Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit rests on each one of you. The Holy Spirit is within you. God blesses you. The Holy Spirit's resting on Simeon. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die, he would not see death, before he had seen Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple that day, that particular day, and when Joseph and Mary brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms. I just imagine this. Simeon has been waiting for this all his life. He's been told he is going to see the Messiah, and here he is holding this infant in his arms. And he felt all the way through his body. Can't you just feel that tingling? All the way through his body. He feels this is the Messiah. This is the one. He took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace." In other words, now I can die in peace. "According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people, Israel." Do you realize Simeon is a Jew, and Simeon has just proclaimed the Messiah, not only for the Jews, but for all of the people of the world. At this time, there are only two groups, the Gentiles and the Jews. Here is the Messiah for the whole world, the one who will reconcile all people to God. Mary and Joseph, the child's father and mother, were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Then as a widow to the age of 84, I know folks, 84 doesn't seem old to us, but at that time, that was ancient. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer day and night. And at the moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child, all were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything that was required of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom and the favor of God was upon him. It is not only Christmas in Bethlehem. It is Christmas in Jerusalem. It is Christmas in Nazareth. It is Christmas everywhere. For the word is spreading that a babe has been born, and he is the Messiah, and he is our Savior. He is not the Savior as we thought he might be. He is far greater than anything we thought was coming. He has more wisdom and more intelligence than anything we thought might come. Later in life, people will expect him to come with a sword and with fire and with anger and with war. But oh no, he comes with great love and compassion. He comes with open arms. He comes with acceptance. He comes with compassion. He comes with acceptance. And he comes for you. He comes for me. He comes knowing all the dirt and ugliness that is in us and on us. And from that very day he was born and blessed and told by Anna that he would suffer. From that day, he came, God with us, God for us, God in us, God save us. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that Christmas is not over. The Christ child lives in all of us. The Christ child, seemingly so weak and helpless, but not at all. Simeon reminds us that this Christ child makes our faith stronger, and that we can rejoice together because this Christ child comes for us. This Christ child will be with us and teach us. And then this Christ child will show us the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is Good Christian Friends Rejoice. How would you like to start your new year being a part of, well, maybe not so new a family, but this family who loves and lives and celebrates together? Let us stand and sing.